That in our prelude, 842, Son of God, Eternal Savior. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. The propers for the day are on the inside of the bulletin. Readings for the day are on the back page, and a brief outline of the service is on the edge. We'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we live in a world of rules and regulations and laws. Our society is ordered that if you follow the rules, you are blessed and rewarded. And if you disobey the rules, you are cursed and condemned. Heavenly Father, our world is so guided and structured that it is hard for us to believe that the church is not ruled and ordered the same way. Heavenly Father, as we ask which law is the most important law to follow, you teach us to look to Christ, your Son, our Lord, God and man, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Help us, Heavenly Father, as your children, to rightly divide law and gospel, not only as a theological exercise, but as a matter of life. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us, for the forgiveness of sin. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn 842.
Thank you.
service setting 3, page 184. Page 184. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray for your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, dear sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit appointed for the day.
We worship thee, we honor thee, we give thee.
Let us pray. Oh God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Trinity is from Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Peace be within your walls and security within your towers.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God,
seated. Continuing now with the hymn today, hymn 694, "Thee Will I Love, My Strength, My Tower," 694.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Sometimes the covers on our bulletins really nail what the scripture lessons are about. The Ten Commandments on the front of your bulletin, well, those are easily recognizable. But did you notice that they're hanging on a cross? It's there to teach us about law and gospel. And that's what Jesus is teaching us in this morning's scripture lesson. All of scripture, in fact, can be divided into law and gospel. You learn in confirmation class, the law shows our sin, the gospel shows our Savior. It seems so simple. And yet, so often we miss it. So often it goes right over our heads. So often we get lost. In fact, the great Lutheran theologians all said it takes a lifetime to truly understand the law and the gospel. And that's why Jesus takes the time to teach us this morning. It begins with a confrontation with the Pharisees, the legalists, people who don't get the law correct and they don't get the gospel correctly either. And they come and they ask Jesus a question. Which law is the great law? Which law is the best law? Which law is the law we should always keep? What's the answer to that question? Can you think of one? There's not a greatest law, is there? It's a trick question. And yet, behind what they're asking is a reality that all of us struggle with in our confusion about the law. Oftentimes, we try to pit one commandment against another commandment. We try to make one law more important than another law. And as we do so in such a way as to try and make it easier for us to save ourselves. I'll give you an example of what this looks like. We might decide for ourselves, after looking at the Ten Commandments and our society today, that one of these commandments is more important than the other one. Let's say the sixth commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." That's got to be the most important one, right? I mean, it's in the news all the time. All sorts of legal battles are going through our court system, all about the sixth commandment. It's not been 10 years since we redefined what marriage is. It's not been 10 years since all the chaos about this issue really got going. And what do we see on the horizon? Debates about polyamory, multiple people marrying each other. What do we see in the news? Well, Netflix just got sued for having a show called Cuties on, which apparently depicts young children as sexual objects. We have all sorts of divorce surrounding us, don't we? Adultery. Everybody has a cell phone where they can get pictures of naked people at just a few swipes of the finger. What's the most important law in our world? It has to be, "You shall not commit adultery," the sixth commandment. Or maybe not. Maybe it's the seventh commandment. You shall not steal. Maybe that's the most important one right now. After all, we know there's an election coming, and we're all convinced that the other side is going to steal it. And what's more, we see on the news all the time the thefts that are taking place in our community, from cars, from homes, thefts of weapons that later on end up in other crimes. And it's not just the blatant stealing that breaks the seventh commandment. What about the rioting? Did you know the seventh commandment forbids that? We're supposed to protect and improve our neighbors' possessions and income, not burn it down if we're unhappy. We haven't even gotten into tax season. How will you find a loophole to pay less tax? Maybe the seventh commandment, you shall not steal, maybe that's the most important one. Or maybe not. Maybe the fifth, you shall not murder, protecting other people's lives. We deal with abortion in the world. Sure, 1 million people have died from coronavirus, but in the same amount of time, 30 million babies have been aborted. We talk so much about health and safety. We wear our seatbelts. We don't smoke. We don't drink excessively. Or maybe we do. Maybe the fifth commandment is most important. Do you see how you can talk yourself in to making one commandment more important than the other ones? Do you see how you can pit one commandment against the others? And I'll be honest, it's not that the things that I've mentioned so far are unimportant. It's good to be chaste. It's good not to steal. It's good to protect life. But that doesn't mean one commandment is the great commandment above all other commandments. No. We can't say protecting life is more important than going to church. We can't say avoiding adultery is more important than not coveting. We can't say not misusing God's name is more important than not stealing. You see, here's the law bit that you need to understand. All of God's law is good and wise. All of God's law is true. God himself wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger, no less. All of it matters. All 10 are equally true. And you are subject to all 10 commandments. Believe it or not, that's what Jesus is teaching by his answer in our gospel lesson for today. He says, the most important commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. What's he saying? All the law can be summarized with this one word, love. Love. That's the greatest law. And it includes all 10 commandments. Now we have a problem. You see, if love is the law, then we find that we've fallen short. Have you loved God perfectly? Have you? Have you loved your neighbor perfectly? All of them. Not just your family. Not just the guy whose property immediately butts up next to yours. Have you loved? The answer to that question makes us a little nervous, doesn't it? We always add a qualifier. Well, I would have loved them, but... That's why we try to pit one commandment against another. Well, I haven't murdered anyone, even though I've stolen. I haven't coveted what my neighbor has, even though I failed to love my spouse properly. If we make one part of love more important than the rest, we think we can keep it. We think we can fulfill it, but we can't. We fail. We fall short. We sin. We don't keep the greatest commandment. The Pharisees didn't either. Our efforts at self-justifying fail. And Christ, he won't let us continue that way. The law is love. So when we fail to love, according to God's word, that's sin. And according to God's word, all who sin must die. And Scripture doesn't just mean a temporal, worldly death like is coming. He means spiritual death, hell. That's what sinners get. That's what they deserve. That included the Pharisees. That includes you. That includes me. Our failure to love both God and our neighbor will one day kill us. That's the law. That's the truth. But God doesn't leave things there. And that's why Jesus goes on the offensive in the second part of our gospel lesson. That's why Jesus asks a question of the Pharisees. He says, "Whose son is the Christ?" What's the answer to that question? Well, the Pharisees think they've got it figured out. He's David's son. He's a worldly king who will restore the kingdom of Israel to its power and its glory, to its wealth and its riches. That's only a partial answer at best. Jesus wants us to understand something more about the Messiah, about the Christ, about himself. Jesus wants us to understand the incarnation, that the almighty, all-powerful God who brought this world and you into existence by the power of his holy word, that he will become human, flesh. That God, who becomes flesh, does it for a specific purpose. To take your sin upon himself. To take it to the cross. And to die for that sin. That's who the Christ is, the sin sacrifice, the one whose blood washes and cleanses from all guilt and shame and sorrow. Who's the Messiah? It's the one who defeats sin, death, and the power of the devil. Who's the Messiah? It's Jesus. Not only do you need to understand how the law condemns you, you need to understand Jesus. You've failed to love, so Christ has come. You've broken all 10 commandments, so Jesus has fulfilled them all in your place perfectly. He loved God completely and totally. He loved his neighbor more than he loved himself. Want to know how I know? The all-powerful, almighty God in human flesh, who is perfect and deserved to live forever, took your sin and carried it step by step to Jerusalem, was arrested for your faults, tried for your crimes, beaten for your unlove, stripped naked and hung from a cross until dead. And to make sure he was dead, he was stabbed through the heart and lungs. And then he was buried, not even in his own grave. Why does he do it? To save you. To pay for your sin. To grant you his life. Life to the full. Who is the Christ? Yes, he's the Son of David. He's also Jesus, the Son of God. In the things that Jesus did, he earned your forgiveness for all your failures, for all your shortcomings, for all your weaknesses. You have been forgiven all of your sin. It's been taken from you. As far as the east is from the west, when God looks at you, what's he see? He sees Jesus. He's no longer angry at your sin. It's been paid for. And he continually pours out that forgiveness upon you so that you might understand it, absorb it, understand it so that it's a part of you. He gives you his word, both read from the Bible and preached from the pulpit, sung in the hymns. He gives you baptism, where he washes all your sin and cleanses and purifies you so that you are pure and righteous and holy in his sight. He feeds you with his own crucified and resurrected body and blood so that you might have life in his name. You have peace before God because of Jesus. To make sure you understand that, Christ himself rose from the dead, the first fruits of all those who sleep. That's what awaits you. You shall live forever with God in his kingdom, world without end, every tear wiped away, no suffering or sorrow, no hunger or thirst. And until that happens for you, you're free. Every day of your life, now, you're free. Free to do your best at keeping the commandments of God, showing love towards him for all the great things he's done for you, and sharing that same love with your neighbor, the people around you. Love towards God and fervent love towards our neighbor. Now we don't need to steal. We've been given everything. Now we don't need to commit adultery. We've been given the greatest love imaginable. Now we don't need to gossip. Christ's true word already covers over whatever we could say about that other person. Now we can go to church to receive again and again and more of God's amazing grace. We're free to be Christian. Law and gospel. Condemnation and forgiveness. And all of it there to teach us about how much we need Jesus and how precious his love is. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds about in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we sing the offertory as it's printed in our hymnal.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Good Shepherd member Daryl Travis, who has been hospitalized this past week and is now on hospice care. We pray. Almighty God, bless your church here in this place and scattered throughout the world. Fill all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with his love, that they might strive diligently to love you, one another, and all their neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, enrich all pastors and pastors in training in Christ, and in all speech and in all knowledge, that they would preach the gospel in its purity and administer the sacraments according to Christ's institution. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you know how Satan prowls like a roaring lion, seeking to devour your children. By the power of your word and spirit, protect and defend those who are under Satan's attacks, especially his attacks to confuse law and gospel. Send your holy angels to be with us, that the evil foe may have no power over us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Generous Lord, we thank you, for you delight in giving us all good gifts. Continue to bless us in both body and soul. Grant us generous hearts, that we would support your ministry and mission work among us and around the world with our tithes and offerings. Bless especially the work of Pastor Michael Paul in Taiwan. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, bless our nation. Give guidance, wisdom, and safety to our president, our governor, our mayor, and to all who make and judge our laws. Bless all civil servants as they carry out their offices and protect them in the line of duty. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Loving God, continue to be merciful to all those who are suffering under the burden of any illness or ailment of body, soul, or spirit. Especially this day, we lay before you Daryl, Barb, Jared, Adeline, Marta, Lauren, Kelly, Daryl, Mildred, Jim, Lynn, Mark, Shar, Andrea, Lynette, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Strengthen and heal them according to your will, and bless all the hands that care for them. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant that we would always be glad to go to the house of the Lord, where we are fed and strengthened by your Son's body and blood at the holy altar. Fill us with your Spirit, that we would receive the blessed sacrament in repentance and faith, and to our abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy. God of gods, Lord of lords, we give you thanks for all who have preceded us in faith and now rest from their labors. Sustain us in that same faith as we wait with them for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be found guiltless on the day of judgment. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Service of the Sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from everlasting death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ and the Spirit will bless you and keep you in the baptism of the offering. Amen. Body of Christ and the Spirit. Body of Christ and the Spirit. Body of Christ and the Spirit.
Thank you.
body of Christ, Lord.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Please stand. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with us here.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 601, All Who Believe and Are Baptized, 601.
Amen.
Jesus. You're all invited to join us for a time of fellowship and Bible study in the fellowship hall. We have the tables set up in a socially distanced way. We've got drinks, so help yourself. Make yourself at home. We're studying the doctrine and theology of worship, and we pray God's blessings on that. The kids will be in here in a few minutes. They'll do their Sunday school opening, practice their songs, and then join up with mom or dad or grandma and grandpa a little bit later. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. If you didn't get those when you came in, all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We're going to have a short voters meeting next Sunday between services. Should not take long. Election of officers that we postponed from 3 months ago. Check out the giving tree out there. It looks like a Christmas tree up a little bit early. Check that out. And we're doing a fundraiser for the Lincoln Pregnancy Center. Also, as you heard in our prayers, our mission focus this month is Pastor Michael Paul. He's a missionary in Taiwan. We've got some newsletters out there and some specific offering envelopes if you'd like to contribute to that special mission focus this month. Pastor?
We are going to have an altar guild meeting here in a few minutes as well. We'll try and do it in between the two services, around the kids singing as well, but we'll just kind of get everybody back to normal in that regard. Also this evening at 7 o'clock in Seward, we'll have our college Bible study, and so plan on that as well, college students.
Okay, maybe wondering where Vicar is. We farmed him out today. He is preaching in Loup City and Myrna. He's a Nebraska boy. He had never heard of Loup City and Myrna before. So we hope that not only he found it, but that he finds his way back again as well. So keep him in your thoughts and prayers as he preaches and leads worship for those two congregations. I think that's all. We'll dismiss from the back to the front. If you want to stand around and visit, that's great. Go outside and do it, and keep the narthex area open. If you're stand for Bible study, just go straight in the room, and then that'll ease some of the congestion. God's richest blessings in Christ.